Pastors and their wives can do a lot, but they can't do everything. Here's pastor's wife, Holly Eliff.
Sometimes it's overwhelming because there are so many needs and you can't fix those things. I have to say to women all the time, I wish I could fix this for you, but I can't. You know, I can't fix this. I can tell you what God's word says, but I can't bring immediate solution to your problem or your issue.
It's October, Pastors Appreciation Month, and this is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss. All this month, we've been helping you honor your pastor and his wife. You've had a chance to order the Pastor's Wife gift set. It's a one-of-a-kind gift that includes a new book from Nancy, gourmet teas, a mug, and some other special things. And Nancy's also taught a series called How to Listen to a Sermon. She's been encouraging you to give your pastor a new level of attention and thoughtfulness. You can hear this series and order the gift pack at reviveourhearts.com. Why are we making such a big deal about pastors? Because being a pastor is a difficult yet crucial job. You may not see all the challenges your pastor faces, but today, you'll hear from a panel that'll help you understand how to be an encouragement at your church. Here's Nancy to get us started.
Well, we're doing something on Revive Our Hearts today that I don't think we've ever done before. We're doing an interview, which is not unusual, but seated around this table with me are six other individuals. In fact, we had to do some scrounging to come up with enough mics and mic stands and equipment to get everyone around this table. But as we've been talking about how church members can minister and be a blessing to their pastors' families, church staff members, I thought it would be fun to just talk with some pastors and their wives about their perspective on what's an encouragement and a blessing to them. So joining me in the studio today are three couples who are special friends of mine from the Little Rock area. Bill and Holly Eliff have been longtime friends. We go back a long ways. Bill is currently the pastor at the Summit Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Bill and Holly have eight children, and God has given them just a heart and a love for people and for reaching people and for discipling people. They're both actively involved in not only Bill as a pastor and preacher and elder of a church, but also in one-on-one ministry in people's lives. And then two couples from the Bible Church of Little Rock. Lance Quinn is the pastor of the Bible Church of Little Rock, and his wife, Beth. Lance and Beth have become dear friends of mine since I began recording Revive Our Hearts in Little Rock several years ago. They also have eight children. That was not a criteria to be on this program today, but it just so happens that both of these couples believe that children are a blessing, and that certainly adds to the complexity of your lives as a pastor and wife when you have not only the flock to shepherd there at the Bible Church of Little Rock, but also a good-sized flock that you shepherd there in your home. So thank you for being with us here today. And then Tim and Hannah Sin. Tim is the pastor of student ministries at the Bible Church of Little Rock, has been there over 7 years, and his wife, Hannah, also has a real heart for those young people. They have four children. Last Sunday night, the youth led the worship at the Bible Church of Little Rock. I was in that service, and Tim and Hannah, it was such a blessing to see the heart of so many of those young people and hear their testimonies and see how God has used you in discipling those young people. So thanks to all of you for joining us today on Revive Our Hearts, and I'm looking forward to our discussion. I want to start out by reading something somebody sent me on email last night. It said, after hundreds of years, a model preacher has been found to suit everyone. He preaches exactly 20 minutes and then sits down. He condemns sin but never hurts anyone's feelings. He works from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. in every type of work, from preaching to custodial service. He tithes weekly to the church and stands ready to contribute to every good work that comes along. He is 26 years old and has been preaching 30 years. He is tall and short, thin and heavyset and handsome. He has one brown eye, one blue, hair parted down the middle, left side dark and straight, the right brown and wavy. He has a burning desire to work with teenagers and spends all his time with older folks. He smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. And he makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all his time evangelizing the unchurched, and is never out of the office.
Where did you find that bio on Lance Quinn?
And as I read that, I thought, you know, we laugh, but it's it's kind of sad, too, because it depicts that there's this thing of expectations of pastors and pastors' wives and youth pastors, and we could throw in their worship and music leaders, to be this, you know, total everything, perfect combination of all qualities pastors. Danny, if you ever feel this sense of expectations that are maybe not totally realistic from some of the people in your church?
Only daily.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing to be in pastoral ministry, because while no one would ever listen to a list like that and say, yes, that's right, that's my expectation, subtly it happens like that all the time. And when you are in pastoral ministry for any length of time, you realize that those expectations are often completely unrealistic. And so you discount them for the most part, because there's no way you can live that way. And what you try to do is do what the Lord has called you to do, to be faithful to the Word, to be faithful to your wife and your children, and to develop a ministry mindset that says, I know automatically that I'm not going to please everyone, and so I cannot try to do that. If I do, I'm going to frustrate myself, and I'm going to frustrate everybody around me. So I've got to be faithful to what the Word of God says is a faithful pastor.
Now, I know that you are all couples who really love the church where God has placed you, and you have congregations who love you. What are some of the expectations maybe that you've run into from time to time that you have found not very realistic?
I think one of those is that the pastor is everywhere all the time. I mean, there's
that would make him God.
That would make him omnipresent, absolutely. You know, we're everything but that. And so if you're not at the bedside of every person. And honestly, I think about when I pastored a church of 120, you could do that and do it well. But if the Lord blesses you with the opportunity to be in a larger setting, that's absolutely impossible. And you have to, of course, develop other ways to shepherd that flock. You still need to – we need to tend to the needs of people. But the old mindset of thinking that that one man has to be there at every point, I think, is an unrealistic expectation. I think another one is just that the pastor can sacrifice his family on the altar of the ministry. It's very, very easy to do that, and that we would prefer, you know, because of a man-fearing spirit, honestly, we would prefer others over the needs of our own family. And I've come to the point a lot of times where I just have to say to people, well, I have appointments. And I don't divulge what all those are, but they are critical appointments. Time with God is an appointment. Time with my family is an appointment. And it has to have a priority place.
Now, people in your churches probably would not say, we expect you to sacrifice your family. But what are some of the ways that people in a congregation might, in effect, put pressure on their pastor or their youth pastor to sacrifice their families?
Well, Nancy, I can talk about youth ministry a little bit. And certainly the calling of God on a man to minister to students is a strong calling, and I believe my wife has been called as well to be my wife and to minister with me. But oftentimes there is a large expectation that she'll be everywhere and on every event, every retreat, every mission trip, every outreach that we do. And with four small children, that's just not always possible. And that's really her heart, is to be at every event and to disciple young girls and to do all that she can to support me. But really, I think that some people expect out of pastors that their wives are kind of a package deal with the pastor.
And the fact is, if your family is what God wants it to be, you're going to be better as a pastor or a youth pastor or a wife than if your family is crumbling and the priorities there aren't going to be met. Ultimately, you're not going to be as effective.
That's right.
In that role
what
in the
what
church.
Our wives do really free us up for ministry in a way that would not be possible if there were distractions at home or things just weren't going well at home. And it's a great encouragement to have a wife that's capable, and you know that things at home are going to be handled in a trustworthy manner.
One thing I think, to answer your question, there are a lot of people who, as you said, would not expect you to sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry. But what they do is that they become so myopic themselves, and they think so deeply about their problems, their issues, their life, that they sometimes lose their own sense of discernment about your life. And because their problem is so large, because their issue is so gargantuan, they will assume that anytime they call you or anytime they see you, they can just walk up to you and talk to you about the issues of their life and assume that you don't have any other responsibilities because they're so focused on trying to get their problem solved. And sometimes that discernment will need to be corrected, and you'll need to be able to say to them very lovingly but very honestly, I'm really not going to be able to talk right this moment. Can we talk at some other point? Or I've got to be at home for dinner with my family, or I've got to be able to do the things that I've been called to do, like Bill said a moment ago, an appointment for the study of the Word, an appointment for prayer time with God, an appointment that really calls me to do something that transcends that relationship at that moment. Now, if a pastor doesn't ever come out of his office, if he doesn't ever come out of those times in which ministry will need to occur as he studies, as he prays, then he's not being that faithful shepherd. And so there's that balance. But people need to trust us that we're trying to work through that balance in our own lives. And of course, we're not going to perfectly balance those things, but we do try to minister to people. We just need to have their patience as we minister to them.
Well, the reality is a lot of times we bring it on ourselves. I mean, there's both sides of this. One is people's expectations, and one is, you know, if you're passionate about ministry, you see these needs and you want to go go meet them and you go after it. And so I think all of us, having understood, all of us care about people and love people and want to be used to the Lord. It's interesting to me that one of the things that happens is people are in crisis, let's say, in their family. Well, the crisis has been going on for 2 years.
Yeah.
And they won't respond to maybe counsel that's been given, teaching that's been given. And then all of a sudden when it reaches tsunami proportions in their life, they can be offended that you don't drop everything and come right now at 8:30, you know, or midnight. And I think all of us know there are times when you absolutely do that, when you immediately drop everything and go, and we don't negate that. But I found a lot of times that things can wait a couple of days or 24 hours, and if it's a need that's been there for a while, but they don't quite understand that.
I think part of what Lance was saying and what Billy just touched on also, it reminds me of one afternoon. I think I've mentioned this to Nancy before, but I was standing in my den and all 8 of our children were in there. And I'd been gone for a while. I'd come back home and they all had something they needed me to respond to or answer or do for them. And I found myself just kind of backing up into a corner and they were all coming at me like a little bird of something. And they all had a question, and each of them believed that their problem or their issue was the most important thing right at that moment. And I think that's what happens lots of times as we're ministering to people. As Lance said, in their mind, that is the most important issue in their life, but they don't realize that we also have lots of other people who also have an issue that they think is critical at that moment. And so sometimes it's overwhelming because there are so many needs and you can't fix those things. I have to say to women all the time, I wish I could fix this for you, but I can't. You know, I can't fix this. I can tell you what God's Word says, but I can't bring immediate solution to your problem or your issue. And so I think that thing of just being almost overwhelmed sometimes by the magnitude of the need is a real difficult thing for folks in ministry to know. What do I respond to? What do I wait on? What do I have to go to God and say, God, you're going to have to give me wisdom on this? You know, I mean, I think that occurs all the time in ministry.
There are also people in all of our churches, all of our fellowships, who may not be so myopic in the sense of their own needs and so focused on that. There are other people in the church who don't express themselves,
right,
and who have expectations that they think the pastor needs to omnisciently figure out. And so there can be hurt, there can be frustration, there can be gossip, there can be innuendo that the pastor's not meeting my needs, he's not ministering to me. And it may be that the pastor has no idea what that need is, because it's never been expressed. And you could probably in some of those cases genuinely ask the question, does anyone in the church know about your problem? And if they don't, how can they minister to you? We just had an illustration of this just this past Sunday when there was a precious couple in our church who are moving away, and we found out just this morning, a couple of days later after the service, that they were terribly hurt because we did not recognize publicly their departure. And all of us in our leadership meeting looked around at each other and said, did anyone know?
Mm-hmm.
Did anyone know that this was going to be their last Sunday? And we all realized collectively no one knew. And so I had the opportunity to talk with them and say, I'm so sorry that we did not know that there was any level of expectation, nor did we have any knowledge of this. We would have done something. And so sometimes you have to be a sleuth, you have to be a detective, just to allow people to know that your desire is to minister to them effectively if you were otherwise able to know.
I have several good friends at the church who have taken it upon themselves to make sure that they call me and let me know of needs that I may not know about.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize that so-and-so just went in to have her baby this morning? Oh, thank you, I didn't know that. Or did you realize that so-and-so has been sick for a couple of days? And they know that it's important for me to know those things, and yet I can't know everything. So that's an encouragement to me that they would think enough about me and know that that would be an encouragement to me to call me and let me know about some needs that I really want to minister to but would not otherwise have known. And to bounce off of something else that Lance said, it has been a great encouragement for us when someone does have a concern about either one of our children or something that we've done, instead of those people stewing about it or maybe even gossiping about it, it's such an encouragement when they come to us and say, could we sit down and talk with you about this? We saw, for instance, maybe one of your children doing something. I wanted to talk to you about this. And we just say, thank you so much for loving us enough to come to us and share a concern with us before it gets out of hand and turns into a rumor or a gossip.
Do you think it surprises people sometimes that as a couple or as a family, you would have problems or issues of your own?
Yes, and I think oftentimes they're afraid to come to us. Maybe afraid that we might respond in a wrong way, or maybe just hoping that someone else would come. But sometimes that doesn't always happen. So it's an encouragement to us when someone has come and said, we want to talk to you about something.
So you're saying, really, we're members of this body, too.
Exactly.
We're brothers and sisters,
yes.
And we need the body in our lives.
Yes.
I think the key to that is where their heart is as they come.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, are they speaking the truth in love? Are they there because they genuinely love you and
right.
love your children and
right.
want God's best?
Yes.
So I think when the heart motivation is pure, that's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it may be that the reason, Holly, you're saying that is because sometimes when people do come, we don't know exactly what is the purpose of their coming. How long have they thought about this? How many people have they spoken to before they've come to us? When you have people come, you want to assume, because of 1 Corinthians 13, love believes all things, that they're coming with the right motives. But sometimes they also have unrealistic expectations about your children. Pastors' kids are notoriously held up to a completely unrealistic standard, so that if our children do anything that is perceived by anyone as anywhere near problematic, it can become almost a scandal.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings sometimes a great burden on our children, and we have to sit down and work with them about how you respond to people who are looking at every move you make in the church. That's difficult.
You know, we all of us want our kids to walk with Christ and be examples and be leaders. But it's a phenomenal gift that a church member, a member of the body, can give to us as parents to give our kids grace. Just like they'd give their own kids, like they'd give somebody else's kids.
Doesn't that highlight the importance, too, of people praying for your family, praying
oh,
for your children?
Mm.
I mean, I wonder
yes,
if right. in the congregation people realize that the pastor's family needs prayer as they raise their kids in the same way that you need prayer as you raise your kids,
mm-hmm.
that this is – it's going to be a work of God to have those kids have a heart for the Lord.
If you've never thought about it before, I hope today's program will inspire you to pray for your pastor's kids. Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking with a group of pastors and their wives about the ways you can either discourage or encourage the shepherds at your church. This program wraps up a series called How to Listen to a Sermon. If you missed any of it, you can order it on CD at reviveourhearts.com. Maybe you can be the one to spread this important message at your church. You could order CDs for some friends or pass along the transcripts via email. Just visit reviveourhearts.com for more information. October isn't just Pastors Appreciation Month. It's also the time of year when our listeners receive a gift from Revive Our Hearts. It's the Revive Our Hearts 2007 Wall Calendar. Each year, our team designs a calendar that's a real work of art. This year, the calendar includes quotes from Nancy's book, Forgiveness. It's our gift to you. You can get one free per household by visiting reviveourhearts.com or by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Breast cancer. What do you think about when you hear that phrase? Maybe a feeling of sadness or dread? Maybe you just don't want to think about it. But next week, you'll learn to associate that phrase with another important concept, God's purpose and His glory. Please join us for Revive Our Hearts. Now, let's pray for our pastors. Here's Nancy to lead us.
Lord, how I thank you for these three precious couples and so many others that I can think of who have pastored and shepherded my life over the years. And Lord, as I have looked into the eyes of these couples, I thank you for them. I thank you for their faithfulness. We hear so many stories about those who are not faithful and those who are doctrinally impure, those who are falling morally, and Lord, that breaks our hearts. But we thank you that there are many, many who've not bowed the knee to the enemy, who have been faithful, who love you, who love your word, who are laying down their lives for your sake, for your kingdom's sake, and for the sake of your church. I pray, Lord, that you would lift up their hands, that you would strengthen them for the work, that you would meet with them in their studies as they dig into the Word. And I pray that you would minister to them in their own walk with you, that they would not feed the flock at the expense of their own hearts and their own families. I pray for protection over their marriages. I pray, Lord, for the 20 children represented between these three couples. And thank you for the evidence thus far and the ones that are older of the fact that they are seeking after you and they are following you. But Lord, I pray for every one of these children, without exception, that they would know Christ and love him and walk with him and follow him, and that you'd call many of these kids into ministry themselves, that they will have seen something as their parents are in the ministry that will make them say, that would be a joy. And Lord, I pray that you would, in the churches represented here and in all the churches that our listeners represent, oh Lord, may you be glorified. May you give wisdom to the pastors, the deacons, the elders. I pray for churches where there are issues that could be seeds of dissension or division. Oh Lord, would you help these men to know how to deal with issues that occur in the church, issues where church discipline is needed? Would you give wisdom and courage and keep them from fear of man? May they fear you more than they fear anyone or anything else. I pray that you'd provide for their needs materially. And thank you, Lord, that you've told us where to minister to the material needs of those who minister to us spiritually. Thank you for them. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Fulfill all of your holy purposes in and through their lives. And may they be able, as Hebrews says, one day to give account with great joy, because we have heeded the word as it was preached to us through their lips and their lives. We pray with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.